The Mysterious River. Modern science has explained almost every phenomenon which in olden times would have been considered supernatural. But there are still some weird, unexplained places left in the world, one of which is in the state of Mississippi. It is dusk. Slowly the soft southern night drips over the land, and the fireflies begin to flicker in the shadows. By the side of the lazy Pascagoula River sit Ralph and Marion Staley. With them is Alfred McCall, their house guest from New York.
Look, it's getting light behind the hill that crosses the river. The moon will be up soon.
Oh, Ralph, let's go back to the house.
Why?
You know why. I don't like it here by the river after dark.
What's the matter with you, Marion?
Why, nothing, Alfred. Only I'd rather go back to the house, that's all.
Oh, I think it's a marvelous night. The moon will make it perfect.
It's Midsummer's Eve.
Really? On Midsummer's Eve, anything can happen.
Why, what do you mean, Alfred?
Oh, don't look so frightened. Don't you know that on Midsummer night, the spirits of the trees and the streams and the flowers are released from their prisons? If we're lucky enough to see them dancing, we go a little mad just for this one night. That's what they call Midsummer Madness.
Oh, Ralph, I'm going in. I can't stand it down here when it's moonlight.
Now, Marion, you promised me not to be afraid.
I know I promised, but whenever I hear the river, Oh, Ralph, look. The moon is over the hill now. It'll happen pretty soon. And
what will happen?
The river.
Don't tell him, Marion. I want him to be surprised.
Well, Ralph, I'm going to the house. If you all want to come up afterwards, I'll give you a mint julep. I've an idea that Alfred will need one.
All right. I'll protect him from the river.
Now, what is this all about?
Oh, you'll know soon enough.
Are you trying to give me the jitters?
No. But all your talk of Midsummer Night's quite apropos.
You mean about the spirits of the trees and the rivers being released from their prisons?
Yes. Yeah, it's a good thing you've got iron nerves. You wouldn't catch a darky down here after nightfall, especially when there's a moon.
But nothing supernatural really exists. Everything in this world can be explained.
Well, you live here by this river for a few years, and you begin to believe anything is possible.
What's that strange moaning music?
The river is singing.
The river's singing? Nonsense. That's strange. It does sound like the river.
It is the river. I tell you, it sings.
Oh, bosh. Someone's kidding us.
All right. Then go down to the edge of the river and put your ear near to the water.
All right, I will.
Don't fall in.
Don't be absurd. By George, Ralph was right. The water, it does sound as if it comes from here. It sounds all around me.
How are you getting along?
I think I've had enough.
White as a sheet.
Did it really frighten you?
Well, It's quite uncanny, isn't it?
Uncanny is right.
Does it happen all along the river?
No, just near the mouth. The Gulf of Mexico is only a few miles from here.
Ralph, do you mind if we go in?
And get that mint julep? It's all right with me. Come along. Oh, and by the way, old fellow, I wouldn't say again that everything in this world can be explained.
Strange as it seems, the Singing River, or Pascagoula River, really exists in the state of Mississippi. Its weird moaning music has never been explained, even though many scientists have studied the mysterious singing. The phenomenon takes place after dark on certain parts of the river, the moon adding to the supernatural atmosphere. The king who died to save his life. Charles VII, King of France from 1429 to 1461, was crowned after years of struggle through the efforts of Joan of Arc. She it was who drove the English from Orleans, who labored in vain to unify Charles' kingdom for him, and who was repaid by being burned as a witch by the avenging English. Paris, in the year 1450, Charles VII and his favorite, the lovely Agnes Sorel, have just finished entertaining two guests at dinner. One guest is Pierre Brézé, close friend and advisor of Charles. The other guest is Louis, soon to become Louis the 11th, Charles' eldest son and heir to the throne of France.
Will you have more wine, Louis?
Yes, Father.
I will pour it for you myself, Louis.
Thank you, Agnes.
Ah, the hands of Agnes Sorel, like pale lilies.
You are right, Pierre Brézé, as always. But her hands are no more beautiful than her soul.
And her body?
It pleases Louis to jest at my expense.
Why did you say that, my son?
I meant only to please.
The conversation grows too serious.
Oh, and why not, Pierre? Life is serious.
Life is never serious when friendship and love sit at the same table.
Love, Pierre, but not friendship.
Perhaps my father speaks lightly of friendship because he does not know what the word means.
Louis!
Why do you say that, Louis? You know no man is a better friend, a more generous man than Charles.
To you, perhaps. His son and his wife are not so fortunate.
This is too much.
I agree. I will take my leave.
Louis, you know your father asked you here tonight as a gesture of friendship. Pray, sit down.
Pierre Brézé, my father and I can never be friends. He is a coward.
Why? How dare you speak thus for the King of France?
I dare to speak, Father, because even now France is taking up arms against you. Philip of Burgundy needs only my signal to march toward Paris.
Your signal?
Yes.
That is true. My own son plots against my life.
Louis, think what you are saying. Charles is your father. Someday you will reign on his throne.
And you, Agnes, will you be mine also?
Louis! Leave this room before I strike your smirking face.
Please, Charles, please. Louis, I do not care what you think of me, but think of him. He is your father.
I do not like to think of it.
Leave this room.
Very well, Father. Farewell. When we two meet again, I hope it will be on the field of battle.
My son called me a coward. Pierre, am I a coward?
Don't ask me that, Your Majesty.
Well, why shouldn't I be? My son wants my life. My people want my kingdom. All around me is jealousy, hatred. I dare not eat my food until another has tasted first.
Your Majesty, please.
Oh, Agnes, you alone love me. You alone give me peace.
Thank you, Charles.
Agnes, you're pale. Did Louis frighten you? What's wrong?
Louis has done more than that. Oh.
Pierre, she's fallen. Something's happened to her. Quick, call the court physician, quick.
Yes, Your Majesty. I'll send him immediately.
Agnes, speak to me. Speak to me.
It was the wine. Do not touch the wine.
You mean the wine is poisoned?
Yes, it was Louis. He poured me a goblet of wine before dinner.
No.
He gave it to me. Himself, even as he kissed my hand.
Agnes.
I did not think he hated me so much.
Agnes. Why don't they let me see her, Pierre? I must see her. Let me go to her. It's been 3 days. I'll go mad without her.
No, sire, no.
Oh, I want to hold her close. I want to hear her voice.
She will not speak again.
Not speak again. My lovely Agnes.
Charles, they did not want to tell you. She is dead.
Dead?
It had to be. Louis hated her. She was more powerful than he.
My son hates me, too. He will poison me just as he poisoned Agnes.
I will protect you, sire.
No! From now on, I trust no one. Agnes is gone. the only creature in this world who loved me. Loved me because I was Charles, not because I was King of France. Well, from now on, I'll not sleep. I'll not eat. I'll not drink.
You will starve.
And I will starve, but I'll not die of poison. Never. Never. I'll never eat again. You hear that, Pierre? I'll never eat again. Never eat again.
The unfortunate Charles was forced to eat a little, and his wretched life was prolonged for a while after the death of Agnes Sorel. But he wasted away until he finally died, some say, by the poison he tried so desperately to avoid. Strange as it seems, Charles VII, King of France, and father of terrible Louis XI, actually starved himself to death because of fear.